mechanism.
NATO allies, including Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, are continuing to meet in Brussels. This is USA News.
From the pages of the Bible
to the depths of your heart,
The Way 101.1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Iran's proxy Hezbollah is firing military rockets at Israel's northern border, while Iran's other proxy, the United Nations, is firing climate rockets at you and me. Meanwhile, these useless nations are blaming Israel for everything, which only proves to all of us that we're still in need of a savior. That plus much more as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 14th, 2024. Listen to this or previous episodes again, share them with a friend, read the articles we talk about, or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or you can just grab our Way Media app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to ask if money doesn't grow on trees, why do banks have branches, is Pastor Mark, who doesn't like to brag, but he has this incredible talent for predicting what's inside a wrapped present. It's a gift.
It's a gift. Yep. And that's a dad joke.
Yes.
That was
smiling. It was totally a dad joke.
Yeah, that was smiling. I didn't laugh out loud, but I smiled.
It was meant to be.
So remember our new word, and we need to have our dictionary of words that we create on the show. Smilence.
It's pretty much that's it.
No, come on. I've made a lot of words up.
Smilence.
I've got other words. I'll remember when they come up. Okay. A prophetologist, you came up with that. That's not a word.
Yeah, that's not a word.
See, there's more than you know.
Yes.
Either way. All right.
Okay. Well, maybe we can contact our Signs of the Times archivist.
What we're not making up is the Word of God.
That's right.
And prophecy.
Amen.
That's right.
And we here on Signs of the Times, Pastor Mark, we really do embrace AI.
Yes.
Actual intelligence.
Yes, there you go.
So we like actual intelligence.
Right. AI, Captain.
Yes, AI. Yes. Okay. Before we get into our articles, we need to hit a reset button on the Albert Mueller topic from last week. You and I both agree it needs some clarification understand exactly what you were saying.
Yeah, I want to make clarification and kind of add some stuff to this.
Sure.
I mentioned last week about Albert Mueller when he was the president of Southern Baptist Convention. That was actually in 2011. I read a statement he made about making us same-sex relationships is not simply a choice. And, of course, there was kind of a firestorm for that at that time. And he did come out and reissue a statement. And I had someone mention to me that he did reissue another statement on it. So I did see that he had done that. And I mentioned it briefly last week. But I went back to read specifically what he had done. My heart wasn't that he had done something that he knew was wrong or that he had a wrong heart. I even made a point to say, look, I'm not judging his heart. He may have been purely sincere and no intention. My argument was, and I'll extrapolate further as we talk about this. My argument was we have to be very clear as leaders where we stand and where the Bible stands because it causes confusion. And this was a classic example of that. And what happened was they went back and I read a statement again about his correction, but further insight on what he was saying. And he was simply saying, he made a comment to say that we can't choose what temptations come our way. So when he said it's clearly not just a choice, he said, well, we can't choose the temptations that come our way, as if, you know, because a temptation comes our way, that that means somehow there's, in other words, maybe he wasn't saying that we don't have a choice, but it still wasn't clear to me. My point was not to attack him. He may be a very godly man. I don't know him personally, and I wasn't trying to give that impression. And I wasn't trying to attack the Southern Baptist Convention. I love the Baptist Church. I still would adhere to say this. I believe the strongest and most godly denomination in America is the Baptist Church. And I think the Southern Baptist Convention is the strongest
and
most godly denomination in the United States of America. Okay, and I want to reiterate that. So I wasn't attacking the movement, and I wasn't attacking him. I'm simply saying, as leadership goes, this whole gay celibacy thing that's coming into the church, it wasn't even really being pushed under that terminology back in 2011 when this statement was made. But because it wasn't clearly and strongly dealt with, I think then, I'm saying they need to clearly and strongly deal with it now, even as Calvary Chapel did. You know, we even got a comment that, hey, this happened with Calvary Chapel recently, and you got to mention that. It did, and we mentioned it last week, but obviously I wasn't clear enough on it. Calvary Chapel, we talked about even coming in a couple of Calvary Chapels, some of this gay celibacy theology was coming in, and we even had, there's a Calvary Chapel in Boise that even had a conference of a leader of this movement, and they still stand with this person. I think they would probably still have another conference. And what I was glad about, after that conference happened, the Calvary Chapel movement leaders made a strong stand and a strong statement. And that strong stand and strong statement came about 3 weeks ago at the East Coast Pastors Conference, where multiple pastors got up and said, this is wrong. And one particular leader got up and said at the very end, and these are the leaders of the movement, and they got up and said, look, this is sin, this is wrong, we have nothing to do with it, and my guess is that particular Calvary Chapel, unless they recant, they'll probably be disfellowshipped from Calvary Chapels. They won't be one any longer, would be my guess.
Well, now, maybe this would be a good time, especially for those people that just know of Calvary Chapel and really don't know what happened to Calvary Chapel after Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord.
Yes.
That could be the differentiation there.
Yeah, but the one in Boise is with the Calvary Chapel that stayed with Pastor Chuck. What happened
CCA?
Was Calvary Chapel was kind of, they really had a split to a degree. When Pastor Chuck died, there was a group that started up and a different group, and the group that stayed with Pastor Chuck and really where his heart is called Calvary Chapel Association, and they kind of stayed right down the line of where Chuck Smith is. Now, the other guys, they're still our brothers. We love them. There wasn't, you know, the idea is not to divide or not have unity, but it just took a different direction. We don't agree with their theology. They're going more reform. They're leaning more toward female pastors. They're heading down a path that is more in contrast, which is, you watch, the longer it goes down this path, the more distinct the line will be. At this point, it's still blurry. And you still have guys crossing back and forth in kind of this brackish water. But at some point, you're going to see there's a real clear line, and we'll say, okay, that's a whole different movement. And so I think we're at that point. I really believe that part of the movement is already in a whole different movement. And the movement that's really sticking with where Pastor Chuck was what we call Calvary Chapel Association. Now, the particular group that had that conference that we're talking about was in the CCA, the Calvary Chapel Association. So my guess will be, if there's not a repentance and a retraction, that they're going to be probably withdrawn at some point. And that's all I was saying was, there needs to be a clear statement. This is something that we love them. If they go and sin, sinners, we love all sinners, but we have to say this is sin so they have hope. And again, where I want to get back to the Albert Mohler statement, and I don't know where he stands today. Let me just say that. He said it's obviously more than a choice, and sometimes the church is homophobic. Then he came out and said, all right, look, I shouldn't have used that wording, you know, that we're homophobic. But he said, it's just you can't control the temptations that come your way. Here's the problem with that. It implies that just because the temptation comes your way doesn't mean that you ever wanted that. And it implies that there are temptations that because the temptation came their way, that although they didn't want it, they still somehow did it. My point is that if temptations come your way and you have no interest, you can still say no to that temptation and turn away. It's temptations that come your way where you do have interest. Jesus was tempted. In Luke 4, Satan came to him and gave him all the temptations, but he was never tempted. In other words, the word really in the language is the word tested. And so Satan tested him to see if there was anything that he could find, any opening there that get to, you know, that would get to his heart. But it says, no, there was no open. The Lord never was really drawn to that because there was no natural desire. There was nothing in him that wanted that. He wanted what was right with God. So nothing could penetrate that. And so my point was in this is that the implication is here, it's saying that just because Satan can throw any temptation my way that he wants, but I still have a choice depending on what my desires are or what I know is right or what I know is wrong. And so the implication could be that, you know what, sometimes when Satan throws temptations your way, you don't have a choice. You may give in because it's so strong. Well, no, Jesus proved that wasn't true. And we can prove that's not true by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the way I would clarify this up. I want to just say, first of all, I'm not judging his heart, you know, because he may have been 100% pure in his heart. However, what I'm simply saying is the leaders of an organization have to be clear and make strong statements about where the movement stands, or it causes confusion. And when confusion comes in, it opens doors, and open doors can go down a wrong path over time.
Now, let's also, because some people were coming to us and saying, hey, listen, Albert Mohler said these statements in 2011.
Yes.
Explain why you're bringing them up today.
The reason I brought this up last week was there's a brand new documentary that was just released last week about what Albert Mohler said. And some other leaders. And I would hope that the person that did the documentary contacted them to find out where their stand is now, and do they want to clarify their stand so that it doesn't cause any further confusion. So I hope they did that, and we'll find out. And I'm sure there'll be things on both sides as people watch this online and all that. But, I want to reiterate, I'm not judging his heart. I'm not saying that he wasn't pure in his thoughts. I'm saying, The language he used, even in his correction, to me is just not clear enough, and it's just not strong enough. And that is, just because temptation comes our way doesn't mean that somehow we were born that way. Or it gives the implication that for people who give in to a temptation that comes their way, that there might be a natural inclination toward that they're born that way. And my point is that just because you're tempted doesn't mean there's a natural inclination to that. You may not, there can be no desire whatsoever. And even if there is a natural desire due to the fall, let's say the fall came in and there's a desire to do something you know is wrong, in those kind of relationships or anything else, my point is, look, you still have a choice, at least initially. It is initially, Greg, a choice, and we talked about this. You make the choice, and then after we make our choices, then we step into a prison. And the Bible says that we're taken captive by those choices. So do I believe this? Do I believe that someone could be making choices right now they don't want to make, that they don't have a choice because they're a prisoner? Yes, I believe you can step into a prison of sin, and now it goes beyond your choice to say no. When I chose to go into drugs and alcohol, I stepped into a prison, and at some point it was no longer a choice. I was imprisoned by drugs. I was imprisoned by alcohol. And I believe that someone can, but I, at some point before I stepped into it, I stepped into it by choice. The only point I'm making is anyone that steps into a sinful lifestyle, at some point at the very beginning, they definitely are making a choice. It's not greater than a choice, like he said. It is a choice you're making. And that's a clear statement as leaders we have to make. It is a clear choice we're making. And then we go into a prison where maybe now we can't make that choice anymore. You have something you want to share that I'm going to read some scripture.
Yeah, I was going to share with you James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
That's right.
And also, too, it's worth noting that God, we have to understand Satan, through sin, Satan has perverted everything in God's design. And some things God has given us innately, such as there are certain good things that are within the context of your flesh or your eyes or your desire to learn and to know.
Right.
But Satan has perverted those things. So now the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life now has sinful implications because those things are not for the things of God.
Right.
When we're going after the things of man.
Right. Right.
And that's exactly what's happening in this context of temptations and desires and enticement.
Yeah.
It's for things that are not of the Lord. Not that having desires, are bad. It's what are you desiring is the question.
Right. And initially what the Bible shows us is that initially everyone has a choice when it comes to these kind of things that are unnatural.
Absolutely.
And then once we make that choice, as we said, you step into a prison. And then I believe the choice, you might lose that choice. But that doesn't mean you're still not accountable for your original choice. And that's where we have to run to Christ, ask forgiveness, get restored, and get set free from prison.
Yes.
Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1, speaking of this issue about rejecting God. It says, therefore, verse 24 of chapter 1, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their heart. So the lust was there. It started there. They allowed that in there to dishonor their bodies among themselves. and exchange the truth of God for the lie. And they worship the creature rather than the creator. And listen to this. It says, for this reason, God gave them up. So first was the choice, and after the choice was made, then God let them go that direction. God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, if it wasn't a choice, there wouldn't be any penalty that was due. So my point is, what he's saying is, there was a point at everyone's life where you knew what the natural use of a man was and the natural use of a woman. It makes it clear in Romans 1. Then you made a choice to go against nature and do the wrong thing. Now, that's all I'm saying. A clear statement on that needs to be made by, I think, Calvary Chapel, the Southern Baptist Convention, and everyone else who wants to stand firm on the word. We have to be clear so that the believer and the unbeliever knows what God says and they can make a choice about what they're going to do about it. I will say this, and maybe this is what he meant when he made this comment. Again, I'm not judging his heart. He could have been 100% pure. I want to be clear on that. All I'm saying is, my point is simply that once you go against that and you make that initial choice, it might be that, and it is, that you, oftentimes for people, you step into that prison and that door closes behind you. At some point, that door goes, and now it is no longer a choice. I believe there are people today committing multiple sins in different areas, this area and many others, that have no choice at this point. And what I mean by that is they're in prison. Now, they initially had a choice, and they're going to be held accountable for that. But now they've allowed themselves, as the Bible says, to be taken captive by the enemy to do his will. So you're taken captive. You have no longer control of yourself to do the will. And the believer has that power because they can run to God by the power of the Holy Spirit and ask to be free if a believer falls into that. If you're an unbeliever, you have no power to get out of that prison at all. What you've got to do as an unbeliever, and if you're listening even today, is you've got to fall before the Lord and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I receive what Jesus did for me on the cross. You repent, you receive the Lord, you're born again, and now you have the keys to that prison of sin to reach right through the bars, turn that lock, open the door, and walk out. And so you can get out by the power of Christ, and you might even be where you can't make a choice right now because you chose initially to go in. But again, I think that we as a Calvary Chapel movement and any other movement, including this that we talked about, there's got to be a strong, clear statement and not just that we can't control the temptations. Look, Satan can throw any temptation at me right now. But if I'm not in prison, I can say no to that. It's a choice I make. The only time I can't say no is when I'm not in prison. So that was my only thing. I think a stronger statement needs to be made. Not even necessarily, I'm just saying, any movement that wants to stay on target, we've got to be very clear where we stand and why we stand there and not worry about hurting feelings or offending anyone. We have to do it in love, but we have to speak the truth in love.
This is a great illustration of when Jesus said what the latter days would be like the days of Noah.
Yes.
And everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. And a lot of that's what we're seeing today in people making these decisions based on their own self-assumptions or self-truths, basically the self-life, and becoming their own God, in a sense, in determining what's right and wrong.
Right.
And not looking to God, the Creator, and what He says is right and wrong. And so we're just seeing that component of what Jesus says was going to be happening. It's really coming to fruition more and more as the days go by.
Yeah. And so for any way I misspoke and mentioned Him being the current president or the current this, forgive me of that. Yeah. No, He was, and there's a current documentary that just came out. And like I said, hopefully it's a done deal. It's dealt with, and I'm not condemning anyone, nor am I judging the heart. I'm really making an argument, not so much even with any names of anybody, as much as leaders of today in the church. If we're going to stay on path and stay pure with the world going the direction it's going, we've got to make strong statements and very clear statements based on the Word of God, or it's going to create confusion, cause people to go down the wrong path, and you're going to see, again, the downfall of Calvary Chapel and any other movement that doesn't and cannot make stands for right and wrong very clearly.
All right, we head to the Holy Land via Fox News. This article dated June 12th. Hezbollah terrorists launch massive rocket attack on Israel amid mounting tensions.
Yeah, and boy, are the tensions mounting. Again, this is the next buildup. Once they're done in Gaza, it's going to be Hezbollah, the Lebanon-based Hezbollah terrorist group, basically Iran terrorist movement, on Wednesday pummeled Israel's northern border, including Tiberias. That's all the way down to the Sea of Galilee. There were rockets falling right around. Those of you that have been to Israel and been to the Sea of Galilee, there were rockets falling around that area and hitting the ground where Jesus performed miracles. The rockets, after the Jewish state eliminated a senior, they pelted it with rockets after the Jewish state eliminated a senior Hezbollah commander responsible for military operations. According to a statement from the Israel Defense Forces, the IDF struck a Hezbollah command and control center used to direct attacks from southeastern Lebanon and eliminated its commander, Sami Talib Abdullah. Hezbollah's aerial warfare apparatus sent a swarm of more than 200 rockets into the northern Israel communities, and many of them were shot down. Some did get through. The IDF did not report any injuries. So, yes, some got through, but again, God protected. No injuries. Again, this is a warm-up. Get ready. It's coming, because there's going to be, I'm telling you, it's not done when this thing happens over there and Gaza's finished. I think it's only going to shift over to Hezbollah, and we're going to see a whole new war.
You may be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you...
All right, One World Government News. This first one from The Verge. This is dated June 5th. UN Secretary General labels humanity... This is a wholesale stamp on all of mankind that we are the meteor in a fiery climate speech. It's our fault.
Yeah, this is really, Greg, they're coming out and saying the quiet part out loud. People use that.
Yes.
That's what's happening. This whole thing, before I even read the article, this whole thing started, we talked even about the climate change movement. There are those, like this UN Secretary General and the leaders of it, that they didn't come out and say this initially, but I want you to know this. And by the way, somebody was saying, hey, mention all the articles. We have all these articles on our webpage. And so if you question anything we're saying, go to our webpage and read the articles. We have it all there.
If you go to the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net, click on the episode. Inside each episode, either on the app or on that website, you will find the articles.
Yeah, because somebody made a comment, said, sometimes you guys say things and I want to share it with people, but I have nothing to back it up. I'm like, no, it's all there. Go to our webpage. You'll see the articles, where they came from. It's all documented.
It's a PDF document that has every article in the one PDF document for that episode.
That's right. We're not making this stuff up. All right. So anyway, this is something else I'm not making up. And if you don't listen, this article probably won't say this, but if you want more information, this is easy to go check on the internet and find reputable sources, not the weirdo stuff, but reputable sources. You can see who wrote it, where it came from. They openly say, many of the leaders of the climate movement, they want all of mankind gone. It's not like a hidden secret. It's not like we want to reduce the population. We eventually want everyone dead, because that's the only way to save the planet.
Is that not the spirit of Antichrist speaking directly through these people?
Absolutely.
And they don't even realize it themselves?
Well, and God created life. Satan wants to remove it.
Exactly.
So again, he does the opposite. But now he said this, basically, listen, he said the same thing. Here it is in this article from the UN Secretary General. He said it himself. The climate as we know it, and I'll start the article, may be in the rearview mirror. That is, we're done with this. We're now down a path we can't reverse, which is nonsense. The Lord's in control of our environment. Everybody relax. And we know it's going to be okay until he comes back, because the Bible tells us. And it says, and there is precious little time to change the course before careening past the dangerous threshold for global warming. No, that's ridiculous. But anyway, that was the sentiment expressed by the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres during fiery remarks. And I quote, like the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs, which, again, that's another subject I won't get into. Like the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs, we're having an outside impact. Look at this. In the case of climate, we're not the dinosaurs. We are the meteor. Now listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Life was destroyed, the dinosaur, in whatever fashion he believes by a meteor, which can't be proven, but again, that's a whole other subject. But either way, he says, we're the meteor that destroyed it. So he's saying we are the destructive force for the earth and for nature. Well, if we're the destructive force for the earth and nature, what is the only answer? The meteor has to be done away with. We have to be removed. He's coming out and saying mankind is the problem. Mankind is not the problem. Mankind is the creation. The problem is Satan and fallen man. Again, he made this speech, there in New York City. He says, we're dinosaur skeletons. We're above there in the lobby at the World Environment Day. He says, we are not only in danger, we are the danger. So by making the analogy of a meteor and saying we're the danger, what he's saying is mankind has got to go. And if you think I'm exaggerating, go out there and look. Again, they're starting to get bolder about saying this. It started out by saying we've got to reduce the Earth's population because we're making too much carbon footprint. Now we're going to take away your steaks and chicken and all your meat, and we're going to do away with airplanes and cars and anything else that's fun and makes life enjoyable. We're going to get rid of, which is what Satan does. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So you see the spirit of what's going on here. But now he's saying, look, the destructive force is mankind. If we could just do away with mankind, get rid of the meteor, then guess what? The Earth will be fine. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants every person destroyed and dead, and we see the same spirit working through the UN Secretary General and in this whole environmental movement. I'm not saying that everybody in the environmental movement wants everybody to die. Please be clear on that. Because some people just think, I'm saving the planet, I'm going to do my part. But when you get into the leaders of it, and those that are really working on it, they very openly want to depopulate the Earth. And they very openly, some of them, I know it's the radical fringe at this point, but the radical fringe is actually saying we are the meteor. Mankind's the problem. Do away with them. The problem is you got the Secretary General of the UN on the extreme fringe leading right now in the UN, and he's saying mankind's got to go without saying it. So, no, this is going to get worse. And now they're, again, this whole thing with, Satan is going to use this in a huge way to deceive mankind, and he already is. And let me just reiterate to all of our listeners. The Bible makes it clear the earth is going to be fine, and it's going to last all the way until the second coming because Jesus is coming back to an earth that is still okay. Now, it's been destroyed the 3.5 years prior to the second coming in the Great Tribulation. But note this, it's not man that destroyed it. God is going to destroy the environment. God himself will destroy the oceans and pollute them. God himself will pollute our rivers. God will pollute the skies. God will burn up the green grass and the trees. It is God doing that as a judgment against mankind, just like he did in Egypt against their gods, because after the rapture, mankind's refusing to worship him. So man's not going to destroy the earth. God is. But get this. Here's the good news. After God destroys the earth, the Bible says he will revive the earth and bring it back to life, clean up all the oceans, clean up all the rivers, refresh all the trees and the greenery for 1,000 years as he rules and reigns on the earth. And at the end of that 1,000 years, he'll destroy everything and make everything brand new. So that's the future. It's a great future for the believer. And we don't need to panic about what's going to happen with the earth and the environment by what we eat or what we drive or where we fly. It's just lies of Satan.
On June 10th, Fox News informed us that Europe is bent on forcing U.S. firms to go woke, and it has a new law to do it.
Yeah, this is interesting. Again, you're going to see a greater and greater push on the whole world going along with this liberal and really demonic mindset as the Antichrist gets into place. The officials of the European Union in May finalized the sweeping new law that will radically change business activities around the world and, by extension, societies that they operate in. The law, formerly titled the Corporate Sustainability Due Diligence Directive, the CSDDD, I mean, at some point, you got too many words and too many letters.
Alphabet soup.
Yes, they will not only apply to companies that are based in the European Union, but also to businesses headquartered in other countries that provide products and services in the EU. What? Under the law, large businesses will be forced to adopt left-wing environmental and social justice rules. In America, we refer to these environmental, social, and governance, ESG, metrics, but in Europe, they are commonly called due diligence. The CSDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDD reduce the reverse biodiversity loss, limit water and land consumption, prohibit certain kinds of disinformation, guarantee rights for labor unions, adopt climate transition plans, and phase out fossil fuels, among numerous other requirements. Let me sum out what they're saying to do. Ruin mankind and destroy anyone that wants to speak the truth. That's the summation of what they said this new bill is going to do. It's going to ruin mankind by removing all gasoline and oil and all those things. It's going to stop the use of land consumption, God said to use the earth for mankind. They're reversing it. And so it's the same old thing that's going, this is demonic. And I know it's going to eventually go that way completely. it would appear, but we're going to be out of here before that. We're just now catching the headwinds of all this nonsense that Satan is bringing in the last days. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will magically become podcast episode number 315, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we have one question this week. It comes from Kennedy. She's 12 years old. And she recently attended our church's VBS, and she has a question, and it is this. Will the Antichrist be indwelt by Satan or a very powerful demon?
You know what? It's such a great question, and I want to say it would appear in Scripture that it's going to be both at some point. The Bible tells us in Revelation that there will be a demon that comes up from the bottomless pit, from the center of the earth, where these demons are being held that sinned during the days of Noah in such a bad way that God locked them up. It says that a demon will be released from this bottomless pit. It will come up and possess the Antichrist. And so he will be possessed by a mighty demon. But that is not Satan, because Satan was never locked up. So that is a separate demon. And it might very well be, Greg, the same demon that possessed Nero. Well, it wouldn't be necessarily the one that possessed Nero if he's been locked up from Genesis. I'll take that back. But either way, it's going to be a demon that has been locked up and is going to possess the Antichrist, it would appear, from the days of Noah. But in addition to that, there is strong indication and implication, and I can't be dogmatic on this, but there's strong indication and implication that at some point this Satan himself will inhabit the Antichrist. So there's going to be like the other demon will move out, Satan will push him out, and Satan will come in because he has more power. And this is probably going to take place when the Antichrist declares himself to be God in the third temple at the midway part of the Great Tribulation. It would appear that Satan is going to possess the Antichrist and again, Satan for the first time, or that would be the implication, is going to have people actually worshiping him, which he wants, as he inhabits this body and people are bowing down to worship Satan. So great question, and I think there's a high probability that both of those things are indeed true.
Okay, well, if you've got a question like Kennedy, visit thewaymedia.net. Click on Signs of the Times. You'll see where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. All right, as we look at our one world economy, hey, do you want to pay cash? Well, that'll cost you extra. This according to MSN.com, dated June 6th.
Yes, the stadium's concession stands no longer take cash at this particular stadium. An employee directed him to the kiosk that could convert his greenbacks into plastic. Kamala, 41 years old, fed $200 into the reverse ATM, which subtracted $3.50 fee, and gave a debit card with a balance of $196.50. He said, paying for anything in New York is expensive already, said Kamala, who lives in the city. If you add on top of the extra fees for being able to pay for food, that's not right, he said. Paying with cash used to be the way to get a discount. These days, it can often cost an extra $1 to $6, the sort of transaction fees once limited to swiping a credit card or using an out-of-network ATM. Now, let's talk about this, because he's frustrated because they're billing him for his money. They're charging money for money to get to go at the concession stand.
A convenience fee.
Yes, but it does bring up a point. Again, the Bible says that in the last days, you're going to see cash done away with. You're going to see this digital currency come in. It's the only way to control everyone's finances. And Satan wants total control of the entire world through the Antichrist. And so the Bible says there'll be the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economy, all this will be taking place. And so everything's going to transfer over from cash and be digitized. So this is the beginning of that. Now, why do I say that? You say, yeah, well, they just took money because he traded money in. No, the initial problem is he couldn't use cash just to buy his food. And I go to places now. I went to this new Kearns place over, which, by the way, is pretty cool over here, where they've redone the Kearns factory.
Oh,
over
yes,
here.
On Chapman.
Yeah, and there's a couple of places over there. There's one that I went to. They wouldn't take cash. And I'm like, you know, I just walk away from those. When they don't take cash, I walk away. I'm like, look, I'm not.
Or if they don't have gator sauce.
That's, again, Firehouse doesn't have any hot sauce anymore. I want to make it another Firehouse. You need to go back to having hot sauce. You were called Firehouse because you had hot sauce. Now your hot sauce is gone. You're just called House. Let's go to the House. That's great for football. Taking it to the House. But that's not good for a sandwich. I love Firehouse sandwiches, by the way. I think they're great. But I wish they would get their hot sauce again. And they used to have Gator sauce. And the Gator sauce is the best. If you've never had Gator sauce, do you hot sauce people out there? I'm doing an advertisement.
I'm sorry. I
got to do it. Here it is. This is to bless the saints. Go online. Order some Gator sauce. It's like hot sauce with gravel. It's the best way to describe it. It's got just chunky flavoring in it. It's really good. You put it on your sandwich, and man, it's like, oh my goodness, this is great. Now, they did away with it, and I used to say when I'd walk into Firehouse, back when they used to have hot sauce, I'd walk in and say, you know, where's your Gator sauce? Oh, we're sorry, we're out of Gator. I said, no Gator, see you later. And I'd leave. Not mean. I was nice about it. I would smile. They would smile back. I'm going to a different Firehouse that has my Gator sauce, or else the sandwich isn't worth it. Now, again, that was okay. You got me on a sidetrack.
I know. This is my fault. Cards and letters to me.
There you go. Okay. But the bottom line is you're going to see cash done away with completely.
Yes.
And when I go to a place that doesn't accept cash, I mean, I won't shop. I just leave. I'm like, I'm not going to shop there. I'm not going to support that. And I know eventually I'll have to give in, but right now I'm not going to play that game. And the frustrating thing for me is they're doing it more and more in airports. And when you don't have cash, because I carry cash. I don't like credit cards. I use them for some things I have to, but I feel clean and just like, boom, I paid for it. I'm done. I like to have that feeling. And now a lot of places, I've been places where I could not buy anything because they wouldn't take cash, and that's what I had. I'm like, I can't eat. I can't do anything. It's ridiculous. But no, that's coming. And the reason that's coming, the cashless society is on its way, is because it is a way to totally control your finances. Everything you do, everything you can't do, everywhere you go, it's a tracking device. It's a control device. And remember, Satan wants to control and will eventually control the entire world, and part of it's going to be through a cashless society.
All right, in our Jew hate news.
How sad that is to have that category.
I know it is. It's officially, we call it growing anti-Semitism, but it's Jew hate.
That's right.
That's what it is. This is from Breitbart.com, dated June 7th. The United Nations is supposed to be blacklisting, or has blacklisted, Israel with Hamas, as if that makes all of it better. As a threat to children.
Unbelievable. This just drives me crazy. I want to read the article, comment on it, and then I want to talk a little bit about the hatred for Israel before we go on, Greg. But notice what the article says here. The United Nations is set to add Israel and Hamas terrorist group. Like somehow they're the same. Like somehow there's a moral equivalence. What an insult. To add them both to the blacklist of countries and groups that harm children. Give me a break. I go on, provoking an angry response, and it should, from the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, called the decision delusional. The move marks the second time in recent weeks that an international body has equated Hamas and Israel in condemnation, after the International Criminal Court announced that it would seek arrest warrants for Israel's officials, as well as Hamas leaders, for alleged war crimes during the Gaza conflict. And I want to read what the New York Times reported. Listen to this report, very short. The United Nations will add Israel as well as Hamas to a list of countries and armed groups that harm children when it releases its annual report on children and armed conflict, citing the heavy toll the war of Gaza has taken on minors, including killing, maiming, and starvation. Reuters noted the United Nations Secretary Antonio Guterres, who is personally responsible for the decision to blacklist Israel, and that the United Nations Security Council will review next week, says this about that. Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, said about the decision, it will have consequences for Israel's relations with the UN. No kidding. How good of a relation could they have already? They already attack them every day. Israel has long had contentious relationships, he said, with the UN that has only worsened during the Israeli-Hamas war in the Gaza Strip. I'm utterly shocked and disgusted by this shameful decision of the Secretary General, said Erdan. Israel's army is the most moral army in the world. Amen. So this immoral decision will only aid terrorists and reward Hamas. Listen, there is no nation in the world, Greg, that warns their people before they attack. There's nobody that tries to protect children more. Israel uses its weapons to protect its children. Hamas uses the children to protect their weapons.
Exactly.
And so this whole thing is so ridiculous, and it's just, it's demonic, it is delusional, and people can't see it. And I want to talk a little bit about why it's so delusional, but you go ahead.
Well, because I want to squeeze this article in first, and then you can hit your whole editorial on Jewish hate together.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Because this is also from the United Nations. This is from the Jerusalem Post. And there's a UN committee that's charging Israel now with crimes against humanity. It's all linked together.
It is so upsetting because nobody is taking more care to protect civilians and people in the necessity of war. The war has to happen to protect your nation, and that means there's going to be casualties, but nobody's taken more precautions than the nation of Israel. Nobody's done what they've done. It's, again, the UN's Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory on Wednesday said that Israel was to be held accountable for war crimes, according to Wynette. This is ridiculous. The news site reported that the committee concluded that Israeli authorities were responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed during military operations and attacks in the Gaza Strip since October 7th. Israel boycotted the council, refusing to cooperate with it, in part due to its representatives' backgrounds. As a result, the commission accused Israel of obstructing investigations and preventing access to Israel and the occupied Palestinian territory. The commission, which was established in May of 2021, maintained that Israel is also responsible for sexual violence allegedly committed by soldiers during the war. This is just a big lie because of all the rape that Hamas is doing. They're trying to equate the two. This is a lie from Satan. Its chairperson called for the cessation of IDF operations in Rafah. Further, the committee claimed that Israeli authorities use starvation as a means of warfare, deliberately targeting their attacks against civilians. Look at this. First of all, I'm going to break this down, then we'll talk about it. Starvation. The pictures are coming out from the Gazans themselves. Their markets are packed with food. And they have loads of stuff coming. Nobody is starving in Gaza. It is a lie to the world to turn people against Israel. It is a flat-out lie. Please go do your homework. Notice the next thing. Deliberately targeting attacks against civilians. Another deliberate lie. They're dropping leaflets. They're warning of when they bomb. They're doing all these. Civilians, the ones that are there, are going to be affected because it's war. But no one has taken more precautions than the Israeli army and the nation of Israel. Another deliberate lie. They're not deliberately targeting civilians. Next, forcibly displaced residents. Well, of course, forcibly displaced. They saved their lives. They said, we want everybody to leave this neighborhood because we're about to go in there after Hamas and you may die. So they forced them to come out to move them to a safe place to go in and kill the bad guys. That's, yes, forcibly moved, but it's forcibly moved for your protection. It's like your child playing in the road and a car's coming. You run out, you forcibly grab your child and remove your child out of the road so the car doesn't hit them. This is so angering, as you can tell. This is where I get crazy. And the committed acts of torture, nonsense. There's no acts of torture. It's Hamas that's torturing Israel. Next, inhumane treatment. I guarantee you, when Jews get hurt, you know what they did? Listen, the Jews, when Hamas gets hurt, they take them to the hospitals and they heal them. They give them medicine, they put bandages on them, and they do surgeries. You know what they did to these hostages? The hostages that had broken bones, they took them and reset their bones wrong on purpose in a wrong direction, then put a cast on it. That's how evil these people are. They're the ones doing the inhumane treatment, not Israel. It goes on and says, arbitrary detentions and actions that were an offense to one's personal dignity. Personal dignity, they're stripping the women down and raping them daily. They're beating them in daily. They're shocking them with electric shocks. The hostages that are being released are now saying, "What? Who's doing wrong?" Now, again, this is so demonic and so twisted and so reversed. Good called bad, bad called good. I get fired up. And a lot of times when people get fired up, they rant and rave. Welcome to the show, Rant and Rave today. You know, I don't know. I hope that doesn't dissuade any way you listen. So I'm calming back down. But these are just lies from Satan. There is no genocide. Genocide is when you purposely try to totally annihilate a people group. That is not what's going on. The fact that they admitted that they're forcibly moving people shows it's not genocide. That means they're getting people out of there so they don't kill them. So the whole argument, their whole argument here is ruined by their own article. If you're trying to commit genocide, you don't protect anyone. You don't drop leaflets. You don't forcibly remove anyone away from the bombs. You kill them all. That is what a genocide is. So even what they're saying and what's happening is obviously a lie. The fact they're saying they're starving, another lie. Look at what the Gazans are releasing on their social posts. There's a lot of stuff out there. They have loads of food. They've accused them of being apartheid for years, and that means you can't do anything. You can't get a job. You can't be part of the society. Listen.
That's further from the truth.
All 2 million Palestinians or more there are free to be a part of the... listen, they have people that are Palestinians in their Knesset. That's their Congress. You can go to the army. You can get any job. You can do whatever.
Israel was issuing work visas to the Gazans to come across the border and work.
For people who know, this makes you so angry. Because these are all blatant lies. Here's the problem. The majority of the world does not know this because they don't do their homework. They simply believe what the lies are.
They're getting spoon-fed.
Yes, they believe the lies they see in the fake media. So this stuff drives me bananas because I do know what's going on. I've been there 15 times. I know people in Israel. I've done that in my studies. So I know that it's all lies. It's like, do your homework. Now, with that said, why is there such an attack? I'm going to take just a moment. We have time.
Yep.
And I want to take a moment because this is also on my heart today. We've talked about it before, but I want to go into some more detail for you. Why are the Jews always so hated? Throughout history, look at your history. They've been hated by every generation. Why is that? This is a gigantic spiritual battle between God and Satan. And the reason the Jews are so attacked by Satan, number one, is Satan. God made a promise to the Jews and God loves them. And that means anything God promises and loves, Satan wants to try to destroy it. So his focus has been on destroying the Jews. But Greg, this is something that was brought to my attention that I'd never really thought of, even just today. And that is, Israel is a picture of God's interaction with mankind. And Satan doesn't want the world to see how God interacts with mankind. What do I mean by that? When Israel is obedient, they are blessed. When they're disobedient, they are cursed. And they've done this now for thousands of years for the whole world to see and read about in the Bible. And what it says to the world, not just the Jew, is there's a God in heaven, and here's how he interacts with man. If you obey him and you love him, you're blessed. If you disobey him and you hate him, you are cursed. So Israel is like a living testimony. They are a living believer walking on the earth as a people group that the world looks at and goes, and they're not believers as in saved. I don't mean that, but it's a picture of to the world of the way that God deals with mankind, saying, look, if you want to see how I do with mankind, look at the nation of Israel. So Satan hates that because it's a constant testimony and a constant witness. It's almost like the nation of Israel is like that Christian that's been living for all time, and Satan hates believers, so he attacks them, and there's always the attack against the believer. Now, I know Israel's not believers right now, the majority, but they're the testimony of God's faithfulness to those who will believe. And again, God's going to pour his spirit out in the last days, and they will be saved. So that's why you see all the hatred of the nation of Israel. But again, just to give you a reminder, Israel has multiple times tried to have peace with their neighbors, the Palestinians and Iran and Hamas and all that. They have denied it every time. And the reason they deny it is the same reason. Every time they deny a treaty, there have been five treaties here just recently denied. Every time they've done it, Greg, the reason is because they'll say, look, just recognize Israel. We'll give you this land. We'll give up this. We'll do this. We'll do that. Just recognize that we have a right to exist. That's it. Recognize that Israel has a right to exist. And because they refuse to recognize that Israel has a right to exist, they've turned down every single opportunity that has been handed to them, some of them at the great detriment of the nation of Israel. I mean, it's amazing the things they've given up, because here's the bottom line. They don't want to share anything with the Jew. They want to kill them all. They want them all out of there. That's why the river to the sea, the River Jordan to the Mediterranean, that's where the Jews live. Get rid of all Jews. Either force them out or kill them. Whatever you got to do, we want them out of there. Out of the 13 wars that have taken place since they've come back in the land in 1948, only one of them did Israel attack first. The other 12, they were attacked. Why did Israel attack one time first? Because in 1967, they were tipped off that the attack had already been planned and initiated by their Arab neighbors. And they realized, okay, they're coming. The intelligence told them they're coming. Here's their plan. So the only reason Israel attacked first is to preempt and stop the attack they'd already initiated. And by doing that, they wiped out all the Egyptian fighter planes, and they did all the stuff to stop the attack. And they ended up having a great victory, taking the Sinai Peninsula and all that went with that. But the only reason they did it was because they knew it was coming. So they've never even initiated an attack against any of their enemies ever, 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 ever. October 7th, all this that's happening now in Gaza, guys, is because Israel was attacked by the Palestinians who came over the border and raped and murdered and killed, I mean, their families. So it's just self-defense. And to see how the enemy can turn this, where the world is marching in the streets and the Jews the problem and Israel's the problem, if you can't recognize this is a spiritual battle that goes back historically for thousands of years, you are blind. And if you don't know the Lord, that explains it. But if you do, you should know better and you should repent.
Well, and also, I'll add to that, Pastor Mark, if I can. The other reason why Satan hates the Jews, why the world hates the Jews, is not so much about the Jews, but the purpose for which he chose the Jews and set them apart. and that was to bring in the Redeemer, the right. Savior, the Messiah, and to carry the law, to carry the Ten Commandments, to carry what we needed so we could see that we needed a Savior.
Yeah.
And because of that, since the Garden.
Yeah.
That hatred started in the Garden.
Absolutely.
And as soon as God revealed that, hey, I'm going to bring that promised Redeemer through this people group. Listen, he could have picked the French.
I'm kidding.
All right.
I'm kidding. Not I'm being silly.
Span, yeah, I know.
No, historically, people pick on the French. I'm kidding.
Yes.
Yes, he could have picked the French.
He could have picked any people group. And the French didn't exist then, but whatever. You
French
know what
are,
I mean?
The French are wonderful.
Exactly.
I love their fries.
Yes, we do too. But that's really where the hatred started, and that's why you see the hatred for the Jews in every generation.
Yes.
Because of what the Jews were called to do for the Lord and his purposes. That's why he was time and time again telling them, be holy for I am holy.
Yes.
Set yourself apart because I'm set apart, and I'm setting you apart for a purpose. And God's calling the same thing for us today.
That's right. That's right. It's
yeah.
what they represent.
Yeah.
And it's what we represent. So that's great. That's exactly right. So anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anything else?
Nope. Let's move on. I'm ready.
All right. Pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from Fox News, dated June 6th, a UN report. Again, the UN is our focus point today, I think.
Yes, the UN.
The UN. 27% of children under 5 live in severe food poverty, and many in Africa.
Yeah, this is interesting here because this is talking about what the Bible says in the last days. I believe that whole picture of famines. UNICEF is training thousands of African women, it says, to boost their family's nutrient intake with homegrown vegetables. A report by the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says 181 million children younger than 5 live in severe food poverty. That's about 27% of the world's youngest children. Africa's population of more than 1.3 billion people is one of the most affected, mainly due to conflict, climate change, and rising food prices. The continent accounts for one-third of the global burden and 13 of the 20 most affected countries. UNICEF is training thousands of women in Nigeria how to boost their families' nutrient intake with vegetables and that kind of stuff, and homegrown, and how to rear livestock and chickens. Now, again, this is interesting in that we're going to see more of this in the last days, as the Bible says, as Jesus said, there's going to be famine increasing in the last days. But Greg, I'm watching not just this kind of famine, such as, you know, having desert areas where they don't get enough rain or all these other things that are happening. We're now making famines. We are creating a world that's going to be facing famine. And I can see all the more why you're going to see famine coming in the last days on a worldwide scale. Because now what we're doing is there's this whole move to kill cattle and chickens because of like the bird flu and these different things, which again,
more lies.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's an excuse to somehow say we need to kill the beef
kill
and the
us.
Chickens. And Greg, they're saying this is going, we are purposely killing millions and millions of chickens and livestock. That is, at some point, it's going to cause a famine of food. Now, we talked about, the Bible says there'll be those in the last days forbidding to eat meat. This is a part of that. But in addition to that, it's going to create famine situations worldwide. You're going to have famines on your wheat and your things because of what's happening in certain wars like Ukraine, where large portions of the world's wheat come out of, and they can't harvest it now due to the war. Now we're willingly killing our chickens and our cattle when there's no reason at all to do that. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's not going to jump from animals to people and all this. It's just, but people don't know that, so they go along with it. And they're going to be just slaughtering all this food. The prices are going to go up. The supply is going to get less. I'm just glad the Lord's going to take us out of here before it really gets bad, because you're going to see not only famines that are happening due to what we just read in Africa, but you're going to see man-made famine. And I believe it's underway right now. Jesus said it was going to happen, and we're watching it take place. Shocking.
I don't have it in my deck here. Can you give me a Jaws theme? This is from Fox News. June 7th, Florida Panhandle beaches closed after two back-to-back shark attacks.
Oh wow!
and many more, according to this article, all over.
Yes, and again, this goes right in line with Romans 8:22. We're going to see more of this kind of stuff happening around the world because you're going to see the earth groaning. You know, it says miles of sugar white sand beaches and turquoise waters were closed down in Florida after two back-to-back shark attacks. We experienced two separate incidents earlier this afternoon in relative proximity to one another, about 4 miles apart, within an hour and a half from each other. That's just odd for sharks to be attacking like that. Law enforcement did not specify the type of a sharks, the type of sharks that were doing the attacks. Maybe they didn't want to profile. I'm not sure. But either way, that was the joke for the day. But anyway, but also, Greg, up north, here's the thing.
I just got it.
Here's
Thank
the thing.
You
here's
that.
The thing. Up north. Right before this, only a week or two ago, there was a girl that was attacked up toward the whole Seacrest area, the upper area toward Panama City, and she like lost a leg or something. I mean, it was a bad. It was a teenager, I think. So that happened even before these two.
Yes.
So you've got three that I know of in the last month down there in that area.
Plus
that,
in California.
Yeah, and so, again, I know shark attacks have always happened, but when you see this cluster, this is not normal, and you're going to see more of these types of things happening where you're going to see wild animal attacks, earthquakes, hurricanes. Remember, Jesus said you're going to see the earth groaning. It says in Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. You're going to see all kinds of response, I believe, in animals and in nature and all those things. So keep your eye out for this because this is going to be part of this whole transition to the Lord coming back.
Yeah. So.
Now, come on, there's more.
No, sir.
But we don't have any good time, Art. Where's our good news?
You know what? Outside of Jesus, we really don't. We didn't have anything in the stack.
And here I'm zipping through this.
Well, you saw the stack before I did.
I did. I can't blame you. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. I get that. It's probably
Well, even
fault.
The Jews had a scapegoat.
Yes.
So.
Yes, that's so. Right. Yeah. Well. Either way, you know, hey, this is a good chance just to talk a little bit about just the seriousness of the church in the last days. You know, when we talk about what's going to look, I believe that God is right now dealing with the church. This is something on my heart. It's interesting. The Bible says that judgment begins at the house of God. And what that means is when you see God begin to move on a nation or on a world, and we're looking at the last days, I believe, it's going to be the church he deals with first. And we tend to think about, he'll deal with the pastors that aren't doing walking with God like they should. That's true. But the church as a whole, and I believe some of the church purifying, Greg, I think there's going to be a purifying of the church the closer we get to the Lord. And one of the first purifyings, I think, when this process really began here recently was with this whole pandemic thing that went through. Because what happened was, is that God commanded the church to continue to meet. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And what that means is God knew there would be these diseases and pandemics and problems as we got closer to the Lord's return, and yet he still gave a specific command that when you see these things taking place, whether it be, you know, this pandemic or something new, and now they're talking about, you know, disease X is supposed to be happening soon, probably closer as we get to the election. No, I'm not joking.
You'd I know. I'm just
it.
Laughing because I know it's true.
But just keep your eye on it. But here's the thing. The Lord said this, when you see these things take place, don't stay home. Don't avoid church. Go to church. But isn't it unsafe? Why would the Lord have commanded us not to forsake the assembling, especially as we see the day approaching, if he was going to kill us all? God's not going to kill us all. Yes, we need to use wisdom, use proper precautions, but there's going to be another disease come through, and it might even be here around political season. When that happens, here's my question to you as believers out there. Are you going to quit going to church, or are you going to be faithful to continue to go? And are you more fearful of your own life or fearful of the Lord? And that's, I think that's something we have to face. Are we willing? You know, think of Charles Spurgeon in 1854, a cholera pandemic was in, there in England and multiple people dying all over the place. He continued having church and the people continued coming to church. And yes, some people in his church actually died, but they were obedient to God. They did what God told them. They did. They feared God more than they feared death. God spared the majority of the people that were believers in the body there. And I know they have great reward. And anybody that goes on within the kingdom, then God's going to be giving them their reward for that. I'm not saying we're just foolish and we all just try to go die. I'm saying I believe when disease X comes through, the church needs to continue meeting. And we need to not be afraid, hiding our houses, just watching it on streaming. I think we need to, now there are certain people that have a greater propensity. They catch any germ, they're going to die. I get it. If you're old or you catch anything, you're going to die. I don't think God's saying go die. And because God's going to protect us. My point is, I think we're going to be tested in the last days. Are we going to be faithful to the church? Are we going to be faithful to seek God? Are we going to be faithful to assemble? Or are we going to say, you know what? I'm afraid I may die. I'm not going to do it. So I think we have to be aware of that. Do not forsake the assembling, especially as you see the day approaching. I think we saw, now we're seeing, I think, another refining. That was the first purification. Here's the second one, I believe, is how we deal with Israel. I believe you're going to see, you saw a division back with COVID. It divided up. Now you're seeing Israel. You're seeing the church divide up. God is purifying his bride. He's saying, be faithful to me. Be faithful to Israel. And there's going to be more testings where God's going to continue to purify his bride. And you're going to see a purified church by the time Jesus Christ comes back. I encourage you, be a part of that purified church. Pray, seek the Lord, and let God work in you in these last days. For our reward is not in this earth, but in the kingdom to come.
Pastor Mark, thank you as always. And folks, thanks for listening. And again, as we said at the beginning of the program, don't forget, if you want to read the articles that we discuss,
yes,
we make them available with every episode, but you can only get them on the Way Media app or thewaymedia.net under the Signs of the Times section. Click on the episode. You will see the link at the bottom. It'll say news articles for that episode number. And go and read and be a Berean. And we'll see you back next Friday for more Signs of the Times.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX for Stat.
Glory to our great Redeemer, spotless Lamb for sinners slain, my pardon purchased, my ransom paid. Glory, glory to his name. Glory to our great Redeemer, died my death that I might live. Such costly grace he so freely